Friday night and Saturday morning, it is Oracle Unleashed. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight and trucking through the rebroadcast of Lee Rogers there, Rogue Government. He will be back from his sabbatical next Monday. I took one myself, and today was the first day I was broadcasting live in a few days, and I am joined tonight by my good friend Mike Chambers. What's up, Mike Chambers?
I'm pumped, cock block, ready to rock.
Nice.
Friday night at the Big Town. Ready to get it done.
I just like to hear you say cock.
I know you do.
Boom. We've already started.
Is it kind of like your Bohemian Girl fetish, or what is that?
Oh, yes. I don't know.
Do you have nightly dreams of maybe Heinz getting up close from behind and giving you a little, colonoscopy?
No, man. I've never been invited to the Bilderberg. Never been invited. All right, tonight, guys, we're hanging out at blacklistedradio.com. There's an interactive chat room there. You can join myself and Mike. And tonight we're going to have a special guest with us, one of Mike's new friends and somebody that you were actually part of the United We Strike extravaganza with, and that's Vinny Eastwood. Vinny, you there?
Yes, I am, indeedy-do.
All right. Well, Vinny, go ahead and introduce yourself. I've never met Vinny before. Vinny, yeah.
All right. Well, let me break it down for you like this. New Zealand is a very small country. Out of 4.2 million people, I'm the only person to actually be doing anything in terms of really trying to get the truth out with DVDs, documentaries, a radio show, YouTube channel, Facebook, the works.
And I don't know if that's true, actually, Vinny. You actually have Kevin in Cryptogod. Kevin from Cryptogod, who's down in the New Zealand area, who I am a huge fan of. So there might be two of you.
Well, what I'm talking about is he doesn't have a five-day-a-week radio show and a television show and publications and magazines and going across the media spectrum. What I'm doing here is a project with Guerrilla Media where we're going to start to influence as many different media platforms as we can to give coverage to activists and patriots and the truth and try and undermine the mainstream media and use its own weapons against them.
Barry? I don't have a magazine.
No.
And I don't have a
podcast. But you do listen to internet radio, and we got that too.
Yeah, there you go.
We've also got real radio, AM, FM stations, man, about 26 of them worldwide. Got them in Ireland and New Zealand and Finland and across America.
Very cool.
And this is what it's about, man. Let's take the effing media back. These filthy scum in the mainstream media, New World Order, eugenics craft, occult filth... trying to kill everybody, and they're trying to brainwash everybody into wanting to be a slave, wanting to be dead. This is not a future that anybody would like to see, and I think that the power of brainwashing can be used for good. We can brainwash people into thinking that they're powerful individuals capable of great deeds, capable of entrusting a huge amount of information to, so they might launch themselves at a congressman and corner him with a camera and post that to YouTube. Everybody can fill a part in the media of the future. It doesn't take an awful lot. And if you have enough reporters and contributors from around the world just contributing from home, never having to go into a central office, contributing to a central website, you have a very easy international organization to take the New World Order down with. At least that's what I think.
Yeah, well, I wholeheartedly agree. I think that decentralized information and different efforts and different mediums in the 21st century that are becoming more and more popular are definitely great avenues, and this is one of them. And we will continue on the other side of this quick commercial break, folks. Stick around. Lots more coming up.
I went down to St. James Infirmary, and I heard my baby groan, and I felt so brokenhearted. She used to be my very own. I tried so hard to keep from crying. My heart felt just like lead. She was all that I had to live for. Oh, I just wish it was me instead.
Saturday morning, it is Oracle Unleashed. If you're illin', if you're chillin', if you need some revealin' tonight, head down to St. James Infirmary. The great Bobby Blue Bland, along with the Dougo and Mike Chambers, Vinny Eastwood, and Chris Geo, and you, chatting tonight at blacklistedradio.com. And, well, I guess top of the news here is the charges against little Osama bin Laden have all been dropped. And surprisingly...
Was that baby bin Laden?
No. The big bin Laden. Big daddy bin Laden. All charges dropped now since he is muerte, according to the government. Including those charges never filed on him regarding 9/11. And many people are aghast that, wait a minute, he was never charged? No, he was never charged.
Oh, yeah, well, he didn't do anything. He was just a patsy.
Well, the FBI has said for a very, very long time that there's insufficient evidence to link him to the crime, and some jerk-off reporter managed to go and get an interview with bin Laden while he was, you know, being hunted by U.S. forces. I mean, well, what's going on here?
Bill Cooper said right there. Some jerk-off reporter was able to get in there, right. And the U.S. military wasn't. So yeah. I knew where you were going with that, Vinny. Yeah, no, absolutely, and it's just a... It's amazing. I mean, the story has been such a fantastical, you know, invention by the CIA. And he served his purpose. And I guess for some reason they have to shift the war on terror. And that's what the Congress and the Senate have been working on. And that is redefining the new terms for this never-ending war, because originally the intent or the mission, the scope, was to get bin Laden and al-Qaeda. Well, now that bin Laden's dead, we have to get the Pakistanis, we have to get the Yemenis, we have to, you know, fight the never-ending war of terror, so they have to redefine some of these things. And what do you think about that, Chris?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I was just about to say, I didn't know that bin Laden was actually formally charged. From what I can tell, yeah, they didn't have enough evidence. So, I mean, there you go. There it is right there. But
they told Ed Hospech, was in 2006, that they had not enough evidence. He called them. He ran the Muckraker report. He called the FBI and said, why isn't bin Laden wanted for 9/11 on his wanted poster? And they told him straight up, there's not enough evidence.
You know who I think really did 9/11? Anthony Weiner.
I think he played a
very... Oh, yeah, man. He took out the only two things that were bigger than Anthony Weiner.
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible. But I like it. I like it. I do. You know, I was trying to make some kind of a joke with the word erect in it, you know, the erection. But, you know, I need some time to work on that. It's too late to be impromptu and funny.
Well, you can't be impromptu, but the wiener was imploded.
Yeah. You know, this whole week in Wiener Gate, it really does, I think, in my mind, really firm up this idea that the mainstream media is garbage and that they have nothing that they really want to talk about, nothing that they can really, you know, sink their teeth into besides Wiener. So,
But I love a good female reporter that likes to sink her teeth into Wiener.
There you go. There it is.
Yeah, there you've heard it there. And, of course, if he's not able to keep it up, they throw in a little Viagra, wait a little while, and we have another sex scandal that'll pop up just when we need it most.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to always, always concern yourself with the next sex scandal popping up.
Literally, yeah. It just literally, you know, appears. It's amazing how the media seems to stroke these things.
It's all one big pissing contest.
Well, it is, and notice how they always take it to fruition. These events never end prematurely. Never. I mean, they're always played out to the bitter end. I mean, you know he wasn't kidding. He said he had a lion in his pocket and he was ready to roar.
Oh, mate.
And then when he couldn't get it that way, he'd
cross dress.
Well, and the thing is, when he couldn't get it that way, he'd cross dress and oil himself up. I guess he headed over to Barney Frank's house. I don't know.
Well, it just goes to show you, man, that when you want to get into sexual debauchery, there really are no limits.
Well,
and that's what our society is. I think that's also an important lesson about our society, too. There is no upper limit to how bad it can get, to how stupid it can get, to how atrociously ignorant it can be.
Here's a guy in 1996 they were touting possibly as a future American president, obviously gets a lot of power, and it's evident we were able to see that this guy could come into the back.
Oh, Mike. He's gone, Mike.
Yep.
He just dropped off. You poor bastard. Oh, well.
I guess the powers that be didn't want that information out there.
That's right.
So Doug, what's going on down there in Texas? Looks like Doug's not here either.
It's just you and me, Chris.
Hey, there it is.
Hey,
have you heard about this Elenin comet that's supposedly coming through?
The who did a what now?
Elenin, E-L-E-N-I-N. And what
did you find this one?
Yeah, okay, well, basically, we've got this comet that JPL put out there. And the JPL lab, they made the path. They made a whole little illustration with a path. Every time this thing lines up, we have a major disaster. We had one in New Zealand. We had one in Chile. We had one in Japan. Every time it lines up. It's supposed to be lining up again in October, and early November we're supposed to be passing by the tail of this comet. So we're going to get hit. Another weird thing is that Leonid Elenin is the guy who supposedly discovered it. Nobody can seem to find this guy. But Leonid is a meteor shower that comes every November. So
right.
There's another clue right there, another weird coincidence to that. But the problem is that nobody can see Elenin. We've got all these astronomers all over the place, and nobody has been able to spot it. There's four pictures that are out there circulating right now. So it's pretty strange what's going on. Now, we know HARP was active every single day of these the disasters. So I don't know. Take it for what it is, but I think it's something definitely to research and look out for.
Yeah, man.
This is Oracle Unleashed right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. It's June 18, 2011. Mike Chambers, Vinny Eastwood, Chris Geo, myself here with you through the duration. 1-866-841-1065 is the toll-free number to join us on air. You can also join us online at blacklistedradio.com. Chris Geo, you said you had an article to share with us, and it's a great way to start out the program. Let's go ahead and roll into it.
Yeah, definitely. All right. You know, during the break, we were talking about hallucinations. I don't know how we got onto that topic, but interesting article that our webmistress posted on truthfrequencynews.com. Magic mushrooms, positive effects lasting over a year, say researchers. Yes. Scientists at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine claim to have determined the proper dose levels needed to create positive changes in attitudes, mood, life satisfaction, and behavior that persists for more than a year with a psychoactive substance in the so-called magic mushrooms. So there you go. I mean, even when mainstream science has to come out and admit it, then, you know, I think you can pretty much take that to the bank.
Peer-reviewed Journal of Psychopharmacology reported this. And, you know, it's really interesting because somebody like myself, who has been on many, many psychedelic adventures with psilocybin and other recreational things when I was a youth, as they would say, It's odd because, you know, some of those moments and some of those experiences really, I think were really profound to me. It really kind of, touched into the, you know, dipped into the ether. But, you know, then again, I've known a lot of people that have taken them that have gone off into bad places. So, you know, I'm kind of parted on the whole idea of magic mushrooms for the masses. I think some people are actually able to take something away from it. I don't know if everyone is able to handle something like that. I mean, it's so...
I think you either have to be ready and be able to handle it, or you need to do it with somebody who has done it before and knows how to handle it so they can talk you through it if you don't know what's going on. Yeah. I remember one time I took mushrooms at a party, and I started to feel as if every single emotion had just dropped. I felt no love, no pity, no shame, nothing. I felt nothing, and I was in a panic that I couldn't feel any emotion. And I told this to my girlfriend, and she said, "Vinny, you're just having a bad trip." And I go, "Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. I'm having a trip."
Well, as Dr. Rick Strassman has said in his book, DMT, The Spirit Molecule, it's all about set and setting. But I would take that a step further. It's also about intent, too. If you intend to take mushrooms and go out and have a good time, then, you're not really going to get too much out of it. You might have some fun, or you might have a bad trip. But if you take a psychoactive substance with an intent to discover something within yourself, sometimes those bad trips are actually the ones that are the most healing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like anything. I mean, you know, there's a lot of positives that can be there. There's also negatives, and I think a lot of it also has to do with your perception.
I just wanted to say that that experience taught me that no matter how bad I'm feeling or how much of a panic I'm in, just realize that it's all in your head, and everything just melts away. You can deal with reality again.
Tomorrow night on Truth Frequency, we're going to have Jan Ervin on, who's done some extensive research into magic mushrooms and psychoactive substances. And we're going to discuss Gordon Wasson, or Wasson, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but he was supposedly the guy that discovered, in the Western world, magic mushrooms. And he has some really good information. He's writing a book about this guy, and he has some CFR documents, the original documents from the meetings from the CFR meetings with the minutes, everything that they discussed, et cetera, et cetera. And it turns out that Gordon Wasson was the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, he was also vice president for Chase Manhattan Bank. So this guy, who supposedly is the father of magic mushrooms, really has a sinister background and an elitist background that people really don't discuss. So things really aren't the way they seem. But I know that the elite have taken great interest into psychoactive substances, magic mushrooms, DMT, etc. Dr. Rick Strassman's research, for instance, was funded by the Freemasons. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of that. probably they're looking at it for mind control purposes.
Early on in the piece, any kind of pharmacokinetic aspect or like using substances and going on mind expansion processes and things like that, shamanistic practices, was all wiped out by colonization, you know, with the Spanish and all of that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised that there still exists today a deep interest in these kind of substances, because they hold a lot of power, apparently, you know, and a lot of value to a lot of cultures, and have been used ritualistically for a very, very long time. So I presume that if you're taking a substance and it's performed as part of a ritual, and this is talking about the crazy occult sort of thinking, I don't know what they think, but maybe they believe that they can attain higher planes of existence by ingesting drugs.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, some of you might not be familiar, but John Lennon actually said the CIA created LSD to enslave the mind, but what they did accidentally was they freed it. And, well, it was only a few weeks later that he was offed, but, you know, some people would be, you know, led to believe that it might have been some of his comments that had... And ultimately, you know, was the reason that he came to his demise. I don't know, but, you know, it's really, you know, when I look at magic mushrooms and I look at psychedelics, I think that there's a lot of doors you can open, but for a lot of people, it's just, it's too much. It's too much. I don't know. I don't know if I would be in the area of support for, you know, the, I mean... I don't know. It's just such a crazy.
It would have to be a very, very particular type of occasion when you would do something like that. Anyway, for most people,
I mean, some of the people I've
like
seen in really
87. I was going to say that 87% of illegal drug users in the U.S. only use cannabis, only use marijuana, and they don't touch anything else. So you're not alone in that.
We're up here in Colorado, and we just got our medicinal cards, and they have restaurants here that they serve. All the food is made with marijuana, medicinal marijuana. I should use the proper terminology. But you can go in and order a whole meal,
yeah, right.
And you get a free joint after the meal.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, that's one of the problems that I have with the whole medicinal thing is that, number one, it's a cop-out saying that it's for some ailment that you have. I mean, number one, you're disingenuous. You have to lie. And it really, to me, it takes away any of the validity of the medical aspect. You know, people, oh, well, I've got back pain. Well, everybody does. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be able to smoke weed, but if you're going to pretend that you're doing this for some medicinal benefit, let's be honest about it, and that's the problem, is that it, you know, that whole culture requires you to be disengaged.
I have one thing,
but hold right there. All right, guys, we're gonna take a quick break. More in moments. Oracle Unleashed.
Time was drifting, this ride got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway. Restless feeling, really got a hold. I started searching for a better way.
Saturday morning, glad you're with us. Numbers to be a part of the program, 866-841-1065 or 512-904-8255. 8014, Doug, Chris, Vinny, me, you, and the mushrooms. And I would, if there's some Mary Jane cheesecake for me, please, strawberry topping, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Michael, what do you think about all this? I mean, obviously, you're not a psychedelic adventurer. You don't smoke marijuana, not even for medicinal reasons, though maybe you should. But
never tripped my trigger. I tried it 2 or 3 times. It never tripped my trigger. Just didn't, wasn't anything that I, ever did. And I tried it. Okay, that was pretty much it. The mushroom thing, is a fascinating thing because it's something that you go back and you can back through time that people have used. For different reasons, different purposes. The mushrooms has a lot of a meaning as far as different cultures, pagan cultures, how even our holidays are concerned. So certainly you can lend some credence to these mushrooms and what they're about. I just don't advise everybody just run out into the field and say, oh, damn, there's a mushroom in my yard and go crazy because that magic mushroom might be your death mushroom. So that's...
You have to be educated when you go out there and look for them, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid in small town Texas, I mean, there was a plethora of magic mushrooms in the cow fields. They put a stop to all of those different, not viruses, but the spores that were in the grain feeds that helped, those things grow. But, nonetheless, I mean, I had a good time doing it, and I thought I had some pretty, very profound experiences where I really, looked at myself from outside and, very introspectively. But at the same time, there was many people that were right along with us that, blew their minds to pieces, and it wasn't a positive yet or good thing at all. And they did it not to take something away from it or have some experience. It was just a way to escape and to get high. So, to each their own. I think that, when we look at the federal government, they have really done their best to attack anybody out there that, wants to use these types of, substances. And, I think there's more than, a fair amount of warnings out there for people, but it could be beneficial.
Well, that's
why I was thinking that when it comes to controlled substances, there's usually a CIA hand in it somewhere. The heads of cartels and all over the place. There's enormous operations where they're running cocaine and heroin and stuff like that.
And that's one of the problems, I think, right there, Vinny, is the fact that the CIA, the government, hasn't really been able to get in on it because, when it comes to psychedelics, and I think you could agree, Chris, you don't see a huge importation of those. I mean, most of them are grown domestically or, people found them in the environment, so there really isn't a control valve for the government to profit off of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But like you said earlier, the CIA created LSD and as a form of mind control. And look what happened with the hippie movement. I mean, they started to really build some momentum. And then here comes Tim Leary, their CIA operative, gave them all a bunch of acid. And then the orange sunshine on top of that, which was some real mind killing I don't even know what the word is for it, but it was just really destroying the mind and the whole movie.
It was a bad acid, man. The bad acid.
Yeah. I didn't want to go there, but yeah, it was the bad acid.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But that's why I love DMT, though. I mean, like right now, eBay was one of my main suppliers for mimosa root bark, which is how you mix ayahuasca and you can extract DMT out of it.
Stoner.
And recently, eBay and PayPal decided that, they're not going to do any mimosa sales anymore. But the problem is, though, with DMT, you get it out of anything. I mean, it's in everything all around us. It's in frogs. It's in plants. It's in flowers. It's produced by your brain. So it's a substance they can't control, and they can't – they can try, but they just can't. It's all around us. And I think I think it was put there intentionally by the creator because that's a door for us. That's a way for us to take a step back and really look at ourselves.
Well, a lot of people would argue that they put out, chrysanthemums to kill people if they eat them, you know, and God gave us chrysanthemums, but that doesn't mean you want to be eating them. You know, like I said, I'm not anti-magic mushroom, but I do think that there's a lot of people out there that probably should not try them, that could not mentally handle them, and it's the responsible thing to say. I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's freaking awesome. And like I said, I've done them extensively, and I would caution anyone, even if you're in the right setting with the right people and you're in the right mood and you have the right agenda and you're doing it for the right reasons, I would still caution people from doing it just because it's a mind-melting experience. So, that's
you may not like what you find.
Yeah, you might not like who you are, and you might not like what you see, and it might be it might be productive in the regard, and maybe there's a good reason why you might not like what you see, but it's definitely buyer beware.
Well, the problem is, for some they might be a positive thing. The others might actually find out where the mushrooms come from, that they're kept in the dark and they're fed lots of.
Oh, there you go. But true. It's true. It's very true.
Well, you're right, Doug, though, because it's not for everybody. But, people who stumble across it, I think, are the ones that are ready for it. But if you just go and just give it to Joe Blow on the corner, who is in the 5 cents reality, stuck loving the government, et cetera, they're not going to get anything out of it. As a matter of fact, they might have negative results from it. And Dr. Strassman's book, DMT, the Spirit Molecule, there were some people who experienced being raped by reptilian beings. Like, literally, while they were doing this, while they were on DMT. And they
I'm on board now. I want to do it.
Well, I asked Strassman, I said, do you think it had something to do with what was going on in their inner self? Maybe they cheated in business. Maybe they were just bad people, really selfish, et cetera, et cetera. He said no, but I disagree with him on that. I think that's what it was. You start to see yourself for what you really are. And if you have a bad experience, then you have an opportunity to change it.
That, or maybe one of the Windsor family was on the same plane as you were, and maybe you were getting a little rape and shit going on.
Maybe.
Well, I've heard a lot of intellectuals who've never been able to, explain to me how it actually works, how there's, something abounds of 24 or 11 or 9 or 7 other dimensions, and somehow beings are able to shift in and out of these different dimensions of some description. And when you take a psychedelic trip, what you're doing is you're departing your mind into a different dimension or form of reality, and you can meet things there that you can't meet when you're not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever seen Event Horizon?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. I was going to ask the question then. Is do you see things differently spatially?
Well, yeah. I've got to tell you that the reason why I moved off of Waiheke Island and moved to the city and got a job as a salesman and went to university was because of a drug that I took called mescaline. Okay?
Mescaline. Mm.
For about 6 hours, it felt like the heaviest body stone that you've ever felt, but very, very mild and beautiful and happy. And just after that, we began to be able to see through time. I was able to sort of see my future self and talk to him and ask him what I should do and how's it going from where he is. And
he told you to go to school?
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Told me to go to university, told me to get a job as a telesalesman. And in going to university, I got a D in a I got in a massive debt, and then I got a D in a an essay. The first essay I'd really put a lot of work into, very much attacking television as a brainwashing source. You know, they give me a D! It really, really infuriated me, and I was like, right, F this, all of university is corrupt, I'm getting the heck out of here.
Yeah. Hey, Rich in Florida's on the line, we'll bring up Rich, and we're going to take a quick break. Vinny, Chris, Doug, Mike, you, this is Orville Unleashed.
Well, oh, what a feeling that burns down low. We ain't got nowhere to turn or nowhere to go. Makes me feel like sometimes I'm out of control. So I'm gonna get wasted with all my country heroes. So I'm drinking some Georgetown and a little bit of coke. Lager's easing my misery and waves keeping me from home. Lake's giving me those high tides. That cash is gonna sink it low. And I'm here getting wasted with all my country heroes.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Little Hank Williams, Jr., the third there, Mike. But you didn't know
good
that.
Stuff.
Yeah. He's definitely interesting. Brings a little rockabilly, some of the... You know, he reminds me a lot more of Senior than he does of Junior.
Yeah.
He looks a lot more like Senior, too, as well.
A lot of his earlier stuff, too, is more aimed towards the Hank Senior kind of bent of things. I've heard some of his earlier albums and heard him interviewed a number of times, and that was seemed to be something that he was trying to recreate, and did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah.
Still does.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the weird things about it, though, is that there's so many people out there that already have this kind of preconceived notion that he's going to be exactly like his father and his grandfather, and a little bit shocked, somewhat abrasive. Speaking of abrasive, we have Rich in Florida. What's up, Rich in Florida? How you doing, man?
Speaking of abrasive, up yours, brother. Hey, listen, man, I was trying to get online and hang out with my buddies from Oracle for, like, over the last week. I've got this virus called the Black Screen of Death, and it should scare the hell out of you guys, because I wanted to mention a couple of things. First of all, okay, you know, I'm just somebody who's got a virus on my computer, right? And here's what happens when I boot my computer and everything loads normally, and then I open up, you know, Explorer or, you know, any browser, Firefox or whatever. I go to Oracle, I open up the media player, and I go into a chat room, and then all of a sudden my screen goes black. And the only thing I can do,
obviously,
the only thing I can do is reboot, okay? And then the same thing. Now, for a week, and I'm pretty technically savvy, for a week now, I mean, seriously, for a week, every day, all day, night, whatever, okay, I keep trying to find a fix for it. I get online, I'm reading about a fix, and my screen goes black, and then I have no choice but to reboot. I've called technical experts all over the Jacksonville area. Okay, like people like who take viruses off your computer, nobody can help me. They don't know how to fix it. Okay, so what?
Have you looked at the CPU temperature?
Excuse me. So you're not joking with me, Mike.
No, you're on a laptop, right?
Yeah.
Look at the CPU temperature. Your laptop's probably either dirty or. The CPU has been damaged by heat previously, and that's why when it goes to a CPU,
here's what I
like the government.
Yeah.
Well, I like the government better, too. But
actually, that's what I was going to get into. What I was going to get into is if I reboot in safe mode, okay, I run Avast, I run Malwarebytes, Avast, and a number of other programs, including Spyware, Spybot, Search and Destroy. Like, put it this way, all my friends are technical experts, okay? And I run all these top-notch programs that are supposed to protect my computer from some sort of a hack like this. And I've had these programs on it when somehow this got on my computer. And there's nobody I can call and can come over here and fix it. Not for any amount of money. They don't know what it is.
Hello, Rich. This is Johnny Patel from Dell. I'd like to talk to you about your issue with the hard computer. If you will get with me offline, I will give you a special ticket number, and you call me back, and we fix your telephone, or I mean your computer for you immediately. We put good OS system on there. Make sure it runs spiffy new.
Well, hey, let me jump in for a second. What you should do, Rich, is get a program called Peer Guardian or Peer Block. There's two programs that either or will work, and it'll tell you who's accessing your computer. And there was a point in time when we were doing some pretty heavy research into the MKUltra project, and we started getting hit with Department of Defense, CIA, I mean, all these freaking government agencies trying to access our computers, and it will show you the IP address and where that IP address goes to with that program. Try that, but I would get SpeedFan too. SpeedFan will tell you how hot your computer's running. I had the same problem on a laptop because the fan went out.
Well, there's also a lot of passion.
The reason why I know for a fact that it's not a hardware issue is because when I run in safe mode, okay, I was able to run a full scan of malware bytes, a full scan of spybot. In other words, my computer ran all night long, okay? I sat up from like 9 o'clock at night running scans until 9 o'clock the next morning. And my computer didn't shut down because my fan or it's overheating or something. In other words, there is something on my computer that every single manufacturer of the best spyware and malware stuff can't get at. And the point, reason why I called in tonight is to say this. Why do they have to shut the internet down when they can just identify who's against the New World Order and do something like what they just did, what was done to me?
Yeah, that's what you're trying to intimate here. I mean, you just said that you run all the software stuff that you know and can't find the problem, which leads me to believe that you've got a hardware issue.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is every tech I've talked to said if you had a hardware issue where your screen is overheating or there's a problem, or if you had a problem where you know your CPU is running too hot or your fan or something like that, why would I be able to run in safe mode all night long?
Because
safe
mode doesn't load all the drivers and all the programs that you're going to run when you run in a normal mode. That's why.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, if you want to find out if it's a hardware issue or not,
do a clean.
Yeah, go get Ubuntu. Just load the CD and run it and see what it does.
Yeah, a clean install of Windows and format the hard drive really well. Do a deep format and see if you're still having the problem.
And if you are, it's a CIA and there's nothing you can do, and you might as well just, acquiesce to the New World Order. Rich, thanks for the phone call, man. We got Mike in Texas here. Let's see. Maybe he has some technical support for Rich or maybe other comments. What's going on, Mike? Oops. Wrong button. There we go. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Danny? Nothing working in my house. I turned on my air conditioner and it ain't working. Maybe it's the CIA. God damn, gentlemen. Don't you have like a breathalyzer or something? What's up with that? This ain't Kim Commando. It's unhinged. It's not Kim Commando.
This is Oracle Unleashed, Mike. You can call
I'm sorry. I thought I was calling Bob Vila. I mean, it appears to be the all you can help line tonight.
Well, next time we're doing pregnancy counseling, so just hang around.
Hey, can we talk about? I'm getting crappy gas mileage in my truck.
Well, what you need to do is clean out your injectors, make sure that you're running high octane. No, I'm just kidding.
Gentlemen, thank you for being unhinged tonight. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Yeah,
hey, you know, before the break. Now and then.
Go ahead, Chris.
Before the break, Vinny, you said that you got a D on one of your essay papers.
Yes.
At university. And, you know, the psychedelics and the university kind of worked against each other because you're dealing with left brain on one side and right brain on the other side, and the university wants you to be a left brain prisoner and keep you in that box. And if you say anything outside of what they're telling you or think for yourself, then you're going to flunk. For instance, Sheree went to a Christian university.
Hey, calm down with all those Christian comments and things.
Well, she went to a Christian university, and she wrote an essay on ecstasy and its benefits. And she had never done drugs before at this time. Not even psychedelics, nothing, period. And she just did it just out of pure curiosity about the pharmaceutical uses of it. And they kicked her out of school for it. I mean, literally, they didn't even
fuck
it.
Heathen, heretic.
Exactly.
Quick break, guys. More moments. This is Oracle Unleashed. Hour two.
And he's always killing my chickens. That dirty old egg sucking dog. Egg sucking dog. I'm gonna stomp your head in the ground.
What a terrible song.
Stay
oh, my God.
My in-house.
Right. That is good shit. I mean, stuff.
Take a suck in the house.
There you go, John R. Cash, kicking off hour two. Little dirty old...
My eggs up.
Yes. Don't be sucking on my eggs, dog.
Nothing like some good old animal abuse.
Oh, my God. See, that's what happens when you move to Colorado and start smoking that medicinal.
friendly and the like.
All of your taste in music.
Oh, well, the music was okay. The lyrics that...
There's seriously something wrong with that music, though.
I love it. I don't know. Mike, I guess it's just we have the redneck.
And that's it, you know.
You got to have the redneck gene inside of you to understand that. 1-866-841-1065, toll-free number to join us on air. This is Oracle Unleashed. Hour 2 is now underway. You can join us online at blacklistedradio.com for the interactive tech support portion of the show. If you can make it to the chat room, we will provide you tech support. The advice you should probably not take, it's probably not a good idea, because if you look at mine and Mike Chambers' computers, not always running the best. I mean, we're kind of finagled over here, you know. And that's why I always find it just amazing that people call us for tech support. And I'm like, have you listened to my show? Have you heard about the problems with me punching my computers? You know, I mean, you shouldn't ask me. It's kind of like asking me iPhone tech support questions. I don't even own an iPhone.
I mean, mine are held together with duct tape, baling wire, and they're powered with jumper cables.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the hell you want to call me for tech support for?
I cannot.
Well, you know what's funny, Doug? I don't have an iPhone either, yet Truth Frequency has an iPhone app that you can download at truthfrequencyradio.com and listen to Oracle Live 24/7 on it.
Cool. Well, I don't know why we don't have an app and you have an app and you haven't hooked us up with an app, but we actually kind of do have an app. If you go to mobile.oraclebroadcasting.com, if you have an iPhone, it's actually formatted for your phone. And out of...
Talkstreamlive.com, too.
Talkstream Live, and out of anger, there's a guy that's going to be, he's done with dealing with the flash that's popping up. It's killing his battery on his crazy Android phone. So he's going to make us an app for Android. So that's kind of cool, because the Google OS, the CIA OS is, look, people in the chat room are like, help me, Doug, help me, help me. No, Davey, you don't want my help. Believe you me. And people are putting...
You're asking the wrong... person.
Yes, you are asking.
Do this as a,
like ask not, me to
that's
say
why everybody don't. Needs to be that's why everybody needs to be friends with people who have different skills and stuff like that. So if anything goes wrong, you've got somebody who can do it like real, real cheap for you. You know, if anybody knows me and they want to do a video or something like that, man, I'll do it for them for free.
Well, which is what I did for years. You go to an auction, buy like a pallet of computers for $50, and then you use them for 20 years until they no longer work. And that's how you do it. And then you're always off.
Did you say a pallet of computers?
Yeah, I bought a pallet of computers once for $50.
Look, Rich made it to the chat room. Your advice has brought him back, Mike. There you go.
Yes.
I was going to say, bro, a pallet of computers. What do you do, starting up your own CIA surveillance program?
No, I ran a radio network with it.
All right, guys, quick break. Chris Geo, Mike Chambers, Vinny Eastwood, Doug Owen with you here, and you, 1-866-841-1065. This is Oracle Unleashed. Hour 2 now underway. Give me an oi, 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 Chris.
Oi, oi, oi.
There you go. Now you're getting into the spirit. Welcome back, folks. This is Oracle Unleashed. Oi, 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 oi. A little drop kick is there for you to wake me up. We got Vinny Eastwood. We got Mike Chambers. Of course, Chris Geo tomorrow, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can listen to Truth Frequency. You can tap in to the Truth Frequency. And Mike and myself, you can find here on the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network, Monday through Friday. Vinny Eastwood on American Freedom Radio Network. Danny Romero's fine, fine project there. And, well, I don't know where the hell
we're at. Otherwise known as the Truth Keg, you can tap into us as well.
There you go. Podcast always available. Tons and tons of content. That's what it's all about. You can always find cool stuff on the internet, the interwebs. So what do you think? Like, what's up?
What do I think? I mean, we were talking about mushrooms earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that feeds mushrooms, we all know, is poop.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this poop burger they've got out now? In Japan, they've created the poop burger.
Hey, man, you know, it's Soylent Green. It's better than Soylent Green. It's not people. It's people's poop that you can eat
in
burger form. It's poo-poo.
China came out with a soda that was made out of urine.
Yeah, they did. And recently they put together some kind of food that has hair in it. Have you heard about this, too? China has some hair food that I can't remember what it was. I saw it on Natural News this week. It's just
there's only one thing that I'll eat that's got hair on it.
Oh, my goodness. Calm down, Benny.
And you can't buy it in the shop.
Or can you? See, you haven't been to Las Vegas yet, but see, you can buy it. But yeah, I don't know if you'd want to eat that. Talk about salmonella. We're worried about salmonella. I don't know. You might catch a whole nother breed of bio warfare down there, Vinny.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially from salmonella. Watch out for salmonella. Both, they're nasty people.
Telling you, seriously,
watch out for the girls that are carrying the extra guacamole in the burritos.
Is that sour cream?
Yeah. Or you will be left one spicy and itchy fajita.
Mm. All right, that's enough of that.
Well, but see, from that standpoint,
I'm green and about to puke. Let's go back to your poop burger there, Mike.
Well, they've decided the city of Tokyo went to these scientists and said, hey, we've got all this sewage mud and we want to do something with it. So they get somebody to go all George Washington Carver on poop. And so they try to find different ways to use it, and they go, wait a minute, this is loaded with protein. Why don't we make some meat with it? So they've made these basic steaks, and they use food coloring to kind of color it. Rather, use a soy protein to give it some flavor, and people say it tastes a lot like beef. And there's this video I've got posted up on my website at mychamberslive.com, so that's a shameless plug, that you can watch there. These people are actually biting into it, and these Japanese people are grinning. I think it's got to be the freaking radiation.
It might be. I mean,
basically, I mean, all they've done is just opened up McDonald's franchises over there, right?
Well, basically, yes. Yeah.
Have you heard about the new Taco Bell products? Check this out, guys. This is pretty amazing.
On today now, and we're highlighting individuals and companies who are helping the environment.
And one of those companies is Taco Bell. Starting this week, Taco Bell restaurants are going 100% green. Now, they're going to have the same menu items that you've come to know and love, but none of the ingredients are taken from nature.
And that means zero environmental impact. So joining us now live is Paul Lancaster, spokesman from Taco Bell. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Tracy.
Now, Paul, nothing on Taco Bell's new menu uses anything that came from nature.
Not a single ingredient. Starting this week, all of the ingredients that we use are going to be produced in labs by special Taco Bell food synthesizers.
Wow, and it tastes the same as before, Paul.
You can't even tell the difference.
Oh, the lettuce looks so realistic.
Now, how hard was it to make the leap into the eco-friendly menu?
Well, at Taco Bell, we have a long tradition of taking as little as possible from the natural world.
Right.
Our ground beef, for example, has always been fairly eco-friendly. It's 85% gluten filler, 8% petroleum-based grease flavoring, but it's always had 4% meat.
A real livestock.
Well,
what?
Right. The Taco Bell's new green initiative, we've actually been able to replace that 4% meat with a simple chemical adhesive.
So you're not wasting food or water to feed the cattle.
That's right.
And because you're using no natural ingredients whatsoever anymore, I understand you're able to add something that you're calling Super Green Supreme menu items that you never would have been able to do before.
Yes. At Taco Bell, Jim, are changing the definition of food. Starting next month, we're introducing the Ultimate Grande Crunchador, which is jam-packed with chunks of an ingredient that has no equivalent in the natural world.
Wow, that does.
We also have a new chalupa. Dioxide and pollution from the air around it so that it helps reduce global warming.
Look at that! So we're eating at Taco Bell, we're cleaning the earth.
That's right.
Wow. Now, of course, it's from the News Network. It's not a real product, but when you look at it, it's pretty funny. The taco itself, the chalupa, is a scrubber, and it shows all this toxic, nasty, you know, clouds of crap going into it, and then it coming out and, you know, turning into a beautiful chalupa there. But, you know, we're not too far away from this. I mean, this is actually a parody joke, Chambers, but... You know, look across the pond over there at Japan. It's actually even worse. It's actually
you know
even
what?
Worse.
The,
yeah.
The state of the world and propaganda and the lack of knowledge about health and where real food frickin' comes from. I actually thought that that wasn't a parody.
Yeah.
Well, but when you get the stuff in production, I mean, can you imagine the front side of the supply chain when it comes to the poop burger?
Who does number two work for? Who does number two work for?
That's right, buddy. You show that turd his boss.
Yeah. Imagine that. Just, you know.
Yeah. Grunting,
double
please.
Plus good.
Yeah, baby. Oh, you want a triple with cheese? Okay, hang on. Ah!
Oh, my God. See,
yeah, it reminds me in China.
Just like Kimmy there in the background. Is that her? Yeah. Guys are.
Well, get this, guys. In China, they've been using plastic to make artificial rice.
Yeah.
And to eat three bowls of this rice is the equivalent of eating one plastic bag.
And was it like the Brazilians or the Argentinians that have just come up with a cow that produced human-like breast milk? So I mean, you can see all these babies now, you know, attached to the cow's udders and being dragged across the pasture.
Welcome to brave, freaking new world. I mean, those are the ones we grew in the dishes, the petri dishes right there.
Speaking of cows... A friend of mine, like in New Zealand, we've got these new EMF blockers. Like, you know how radiation comes off of all the electronic devices? Well, they've got these ones that block it, and they're now attaching them to the cows. And they found out that it's now increasing the cow's milk production, and the milk is actually increasing in quality, too.
Now, I don't know if I believe anything the government's putting out there, Vinny, but, you know, never know.
This is a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah, hold right there. We've got to take a quick break. We've got Valerie in Oklahoma. We'll bring her up as soon as this break is concluded in moments. This is Oracle Unleashed. Stay tuned. I think I smell that new world odor.
I do. Yes, there's a certain funk to it in there.
It's got an aura of its own.
Yeah.
It's so thick you can taste it.
It's palpable, in fact.
You could probably cut it with a knife. It's that thick.
Spread out some bread.
Makes your eyes water like the biggest and the most odorous of onions.
Yeah, you've heard of
canned... And like an onion that has many layers.
You've heard of canned meat. This is ridiculous.
Potted meat? This is way worse than spam, folks.
Literally potted meat.
Valerie in Oklahoma, welcome to the show. You're live.
Is
Valerie
she?
In Oklahoma, you are live.
Doing tonight?
Not too shabby.
I just like to say, there's a story about the poop burgers. I clean for a living, and I'm just, I don't know if I can ever eat another burger again.
Hold right there. Let me fix this phone line there. Let's see. All right. Yeah, there you go, Valerie. Yeah, you've called into the program before. I remember that. You actually clean for a living. Imagine that.
I know it. Every time I had to clean,
Valerie.
Something met.
I have an idea. If you would be able to so kindly, when you're cleaning out a toilet or something, scoop out a specimen and FedEx it to the Bilderberg meeting.
There you go. Yeah, that was just, I couldn't get that out of my head today.
I'm traumatized by it. I mean, you know, literally, that you're sitting here, you're about to chow down to, a double quarter pounder. What? What is that?
You know what? I was at Jack in the Box a few weeks ago, and I was forced to buy a burger there. So I got the Jumbo Jack, no ketchup, no mayo, add mustard. That way I know that it's fresh. And I'm just looking at the meat. I was sitting there holding the burger, and I'm like, you know, squishing it with my fingers. I'm like, this isn't even meat. I don't know what the hell this substance is, but it's not meat. It's not food. And it wouldn't surprise me if somebody told me it was Chinese poo or, you know, something else. You're just like, this is, I mean, has anybody been to a fast food restaurant in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years? Have you noticed? I don't think it's meat anymore. It's something.
No.
It's,
no. And now, of course, I'm going to be on the lookout for corn in my meat from now on, too.
No corn. I don't want no corn in my beef.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I just wanted to call and just thank Mike for that story. But anyways, say hello to everybody in the chat room. Hey, guys.
Well, Valerie, thank you for the phone call. Thanks, and glad to know that you're out there listening to the show. And we haven't repulsed all of the female listeners of the program as of yet, but... well, we still have a ways to go. We still have about a half of the program ahead of us.
Yes, and we will accomplish it at all costs.
All cost. All cost.
Yeah.
But at what cost? At what cost?
Yeah, well.
Oh, my God. Look at the chat room here. This has spawned some pretty bad commentary.
I'm sure it probably smells. It's rank.
Oh, my goodness. There is New World Odor in my chat room. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to join the chat room, blacklistedradio.com. We have an interactive chat room there. 18 people. Not bad for this time of the morning, early morning and Saturday. Kickstarting the Saturday lineup. So you've got Jan Irving coming on, huh, Chris? That should be interesting.
Tomorrow night, yeah. He's always a really interesting guest. We actually did a roundtable with him and Dennis McKenna, back to the psychedelics for a second, but that's a great show to check out. We've had Dennis on by himself, too. That was also a really good show. And then we've got a few things coming up in the future. We've got William White Crow, Shaman, is going to be coming on the week after that.
I've interviewed White Crow, really interesting guy.
Yeah, White Coat, he's great. I mean, he can touch upon everything.
Ask him about fecal compaction. he broke that down. He's like, well, I could tell you how to compact feces, but I don't know if we'd really want to talk about it on the show. I'm like, you know, well, I wish he was on here right now because we could just let him unleash. He can tell you some pretty interesting things, though.
Well, it sounds like it would be very relevant at this point in time. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special odors don't upset us.
Bah, yeah. I need to get some soundboards going here because this is the kind of night I think we're going to have here on Oracle Unleashed. it's going right down the crapper.
Yeah, I think
it's so. It's so freaking downhill, you know. We need, like, a hero.
Yeah, where's Captain Freedom? Where's Captain Freedom when I need him most?
Well, exactly. He needs to slap on the underoos and join us to lay all this out and to put, you know, all this poop and the crap into proper perspective.
Well, actually, he did for me on the chat. He said, poop steak, now Alabama Hot Pocket makes much more sense. And if you go to the Urban Dictionary and you want to gross yourself out, just go ahead and do that. Thank you for your input there, Captain Freedom. And you're more than cordially welcomed if you'd like to come and be part of the insanity tonight. Mike, I mean, you've been following some pretty interesting news this week. The Greek protests are pretty spectacular. I mean, we now have politicians that are building secret tunnels so after the vote they can run away because they're afraid that their constituents will kill them. I kind of like that. You know, I like it when government has a good fear of the people, and you can see it in the eyes of these politicians when they're making their little cameo appearances and talking in front of the media. They're like, oh my God, people are gonna kill me. I gotta get the hell out of here. We're gonna die, people. I don't know.
It's been like that the whole way. It's been like that the whole way through the Middle East, man. Because all of these big dictators, who are incidentally CIA sponsored, including in Syria and Saudi Arabia and all of these other places or whatever that's being knocked over at the moment, they're just getting replaced by either military dictatorships or other CIA sponsored people. So it doesn't really matter. And I mean, I too get kind of overjoyed when you see the people suddenly standing up and getting really blimmin' angry and throwing stuff at these banks and crowding in every single city square across the country, packing that puppy out. There is nothing that these people can do to save their hides now, tunnels or not. But what's going to happen once they've all been strung up? There's going to be some kind of smooth-talking, banker-financed, well-connected chap who will just palpiteer and parrot his message of propaganda and get everybody to follow him so he can screw them over too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They want the people rioting because they can send in their provocateurs to really rile everybody up, and then they can bring in an even bigger police state afterwards. It's problem, reaction, solution.
Speaking of problem, reaction, solution, the problem is we have to pay the bills. The reaction is going to be some commercials, and the solution is to stay tuned. 3 minutes to go, and we'll be back. Half the show done, and half the show ahead of us, folks. This is Oracle Unleashed. Chris Geo, Benny Eastwood, Doug Owen, and, of course, Mike Chambers here with you for the duration.
Right here on Hegelian Dialectic Radio.
No. Don't confuse people. They're going to be looking for that.
Brought to you by the Poop Burger with Cheese.
This is Oracle Unleashed right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
1-866-841-1065 is the toll-free number to join us on air. You can also join us online at blacklistedradio.com. Myself, Chris Giovin Eastwood, Mike Chambers, Kevin, Paulie, and a crew of folks there on the phone line. Let's just go straight to the lines here. Who do we have first? We have Kevin in Minnesota. Cuckoo, ka-choo, Kevin.
Hey, wow, it took me by surprise. Sorry if my computer says talking in the background.
That's all right.
The Chinese poop burger. You know,
oh,
I can see
yes,
it now.
Rondai, would you like more? You think it's so funny you take all of our money and mess up our economy. Well, now we have poop burger for you, Kevin.
Honey, nope, what's your dinner tonight?
Go
honey,
ahead.
This burger tastes like shite.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it is, honey.
What do you expect? Come on.
Okay,
this reminds
you.
Talk about predictive programming. Has anybody ever seen The Yes Men? How they proposed in front of a group of executives how they were going to use poo in the new McDonald's meat?
Well, no, but, you know, it's something that seemed fantastical and fantasy-esque just a few years ago seems like a great green agenda now.
Well, they were doing it to expose how crazy the corporate world is, and they released that film, I don't know, it must have been about maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, but and here it is, it's happening. You can dream wild, ladies and gentlemen, and the craziness will happen.
And think of all the products, the sub-products and everything that are going to come out of this, like Food Burger Helper. You know, brown, simmer, stir, and serve.
How does this always happen? I don't know what's going on here. I think everybody gets coffee in them, and then before you know it, it's poop burger time.
Well, you could have your dried poop granules in a sachet that you could put on your fries instead of salt.
Well, just wait till the
It'll
green movement.
It'll be like
movement.
Chicken salt.
Wait till the green movement starts having home burger kits.
You know, it's amazing that they haven't started harvesting salt off of sweaty children yet, but that's coming. That's coming.
Oh, could you imagine the wang of that? Oh, my God. Have you ever smelled a sweaty child? Oh, there's nothing
oh,
more.
Oh, that sounds
there's
really
nothing,
bad.
There's, look, when you're around a bunch of them, it's like one year I went on a field trip with my son to the park and to a museum, and the teacher couldn't figure out why I drove my car. Until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when they're outside playing on the playground at this big park. And she comes up to me after a couple of these kids come up and are talking to us, and she got a whiff of one of them. She says, "Now I understand why you drove." I said, "You got that right."
What's up, man? In Oklahoma, they don't have deodorant? What's going on?
Not when they're seven.
They should. They should, those little stinky bastards.
Ah, man, the deodorant's got aluminum in it. It'll fry your brain cell, give your kids some type of recurring debilitating disease.
Well, there's lots of good deodorants out there, and they're not as strong. I mean, that's the problem. I have some natural deodorant, and I like it, and it kind of smells like patchouli, so let's all my hippie-esque friends know that I'm down, but at the same time, you know, I've got to put it on each and every day. And if I forget, you know, I feel bad for the people around me. You know, I'm trying to keep myself clean, you know, and aluminum free. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. If you know of a good deodorant, a manly deodorant that does not have aluminum in it, I am all ears. Hit me up at Doug at blacklistednews.com. Please, please. Because it's summertime. And I feel so bad for the people I work with because I wear the hippie deodorant, and it just doesn't do it, you know? I mean, unfortunately, the only thing I've found that can cut through the dank of Doug is aluminum. I don't know, guys, anybody?
Actually, do you know what causes the smell in our armpits? Is actually toxins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should smell my feet. I'm chelating some nasty funk every day, man. I'm a man, baby.
What are we chelating, you know, condiments now for the boot burger? Or what's
no, but you know what's nasty? I mean, after a day of, you know, running around in my boots, you know, I look at these white, and there's yellow stuff at the bottom of these socks, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, where did that come
from?
It's all yellow. So, you know, that didn't come from the leather. It didn't
Breaks might stop that, too.
Well, I mean, I figure since we're being gross, maybe I can get something productive, like some advice on good deodorant or, you know, something like that. But you're right. I mean, that's toxins, and it's weird because
baking
it's also
soda. Baking soda is a absolute must-have, mate. Seriously, you can use it to wash your hands. You can use it as a couple of teaspoons in your drink to stop you from getting cancer or to help clear you out from radiation. And you can also use it under your arms to wipe out smells and keep them away as well. Baking soda is cheap as, and it's available everywhere. Utilize it, man. It's very useful.
Payday Monsanto is asking the question. I don't know. Lover lady. Hey. Hey, what kind of deodorant do I use? What is that stuff that doesn't have aluminum? What's the stuff that doesn't have aluminum that I use that doesn't work very well?
Salt.
Toms. I'm using Toms, and it's owned by Clorox now, so it's not a great green or...
Yeah, and if you notice, like, it's very hard to find that they're non-fluoride toothpaste. Now, because I used to use Toms as well. Where I'm at now, you can't find the non-fluoride
Toms. What's the toothpaste we use? What's the toothpaste? Nature's Path. That's really good stuff, and it doesn't have fluoride in it. But, you know, and people say baking soda, and yeah, you can take it, and it's going to definitely change the alkalinity of your body, and it's good. Vinny mentioned that, but, you know, baking soda is not going to cut through Doug's dank. And so, you know, I mean, some of that stuff is great.
Oh, well, that's usually some of the things that you do with baking soda also, is you can add in it with your baking powder. Washing powder in the wash and get your socks and stuff clean out. Or you can soak your really disgusting stuff in baking soda and soapy water for a day or so.
I mean, underneath my arms as I work all day long. I mean, yeah, I can wash the clothes and I can, you know, brush the teeth, and that's not a big deal at all. You know, my breath always smells like coffee anyway.
Well, there was a trick that I used to use. You know how when you wash under your arms and then you rinse out all the soap? Just don't rinse out all the soap from under your arms, and the soap just kind of forms a barrier there, and it's sweet as. It dries up.
No. Vinny's not catching on here, but it's cool. It's cool, Vinny. I need real deodorant, people. Deodorant, like, stuff. Tough stuff. I mean, something that has, like... You know, alcohol, or it's got to kill some funk, man. You know, and that's the problem is with a lot of the natural stuff. It's cool if you don't sweat. If I was hanging out by a computer all day long, fine. It's absolutely okay. But, you know, when it's 114 degrees and you're outside in a, you know, on a roof or in a, you know, comm closet that's boiling, you know, maybe at 130 degrees.
Man. If it's 114 degrees, I'll be using Raid, fly spray, anything, man.
That's what I'm saying,
God.
Man. I need the real deal. I need something with some girth behind
you
it.
Need,
but anyway, that's enough for my personal...
You need something that could polish off a whole crop worth of pests, you know?
Yeah.
Something you can drop via a small biplane.
Yeah, I don't want to turn it into a bioweapon or anything like that. Sounds a little...
No,
Kevin, I know you didn't call to hear about my deodorant issues. I'm just trying to find, because I know that somebody else out there is having this problem. They're like, you know, I would be using this aluminum-free deodorant, but it's just not doing it. But anyway,
we've gone from tech support to sweat support.
That's right. All right, Kevin.
Well, as when you brought up, well, you didn't, but when you brought up the Yes Man as a documentary, there's another documentary out there that was called Toxic Sludge is Good for You. And it's kind of the same premise of what China is doing. But, one thing I wanted to bring up is I wanted to ask Chris if you did receive that image, that picture that we took at the powwow last week about the sun and its placement in the sky.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I saw that video that Shepard M. Billis put out there from the Intel Hub looking at that as well, and I know that you probably have the inside track there, Chris. More in moments, folks. You can be part of it, 1-866-841-1065. We've got Jim and Paulie on the line, and you, along with Kevin. More in moments.
somebody.
Take it away, Mike Chambers.
Oh, man. This is good stuff. You can beat this with a stick, and why would you want to?
I don't know.
That is good stuff.
That is good stuff. I'm a big fan of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, play a little guitar. I love that.
Yeah. So let's go back to Kevin in Minnesota, who is talking about a pretty interesting phenomenon that's been noted by Chris Geo and others. And please elaborate a little bit there, Kevin.
Well, I think a lot of Oracle old-timers may recall how I've talked about this in the last couple of years, but I went to the powwow last year. It's their traditional annual powwow, and our powwow grounds are set up in a circle on the ground, and the way that they set it up is in reference to the sun, where on the eastern door, the sun would rise directly between the door columns or post, and on the western door, it would set in that same time. And I have to correct myself, Chris. I told you last week that I've noticed the change in the last 10 years, but I've been watching the sun descend in the last west gate for the last 10 years. But I've noticed the change in the last 6 years, which I've actually been documenting it with photos. And unfortunately, since I've lost my sight, I haven't been able to pull up those photos and put them in a time sequence. But I called Chris's show last Saturday just at sunset, and my son took pictures for me of the sun setting in the western door, and he is guessing that it was 35 degrees off to the north. So it would be like the northwest. Now, the other thing is the solstice occurred already. The summer solstice is not June 21st. The summer solstice is when it is the longest amount of daylight during the day in the northern hemisphere. And this already just passed.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's amazing that we're already here at the summer solstice. But, you know, just recently in Florida, one of the airports had to redo all of the striping because of the magnetic north pole moving, and it's now admitted that it's moving 40 to 50 miles per year towards Russia. So when we look at a lot of these things, these phenomena that are happening, these earth changes, whether they're natural or, we really can't know, because we've had polar shifts. We've had a lot of things that have happened since the Big Bang, if you will, that, we have just not documented. So is this part of a natural cycle? Is this something that's happening because of, you know, some kind of external force, a gravitational pull from a companion star? I mean, I've heard a lot of things being thrown out there as possible reasons for this happening, but the phenomena is true, and I've seen Shepard's video, and there's a lot of buzz on the internet about it, as far as this huge shift that's happening. And I don't really know what to make of it. I don't know if this is indicative of something, but Benny, you have a thought?
I was just doing an episode of my TV show on climate change, and Dr. Tim Ball, professor of climatology, he said that most people don't know the extent to which our climate changes naturally, and essentially what's happening now throughout our entire solar system is that there are huge changes in their climate systems, things are going on throughout the whole solar system. So whatever's going on Earth, it's not just Earth that's being affected. It's affecting a lot of planets.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. I mean, there's documented evidence. I mean, I don't know. I don't trust everything that comes from NASA, because...
Well, it stands for never a straight answer.
Never a straight answer, and it's part of the military-industrial complex. But, some of this stuff is more than evident. I mean, what are your thoughts on this, Kevin? You've been doing research into it, obviously.
Well, there's a really good documentary out there called Earth Under Fire by Paul Louviette, a French name that I'm sorry I'm butchering.
Oui, oui, oui.
Lafayette.
Sorry.
But,
But in his documentary, he even goes further where this is just a cycle. This is a cycle of the earth, and this goes with the Mayans and their calendars where they keep track of cycles. And there's another really good book out there. It's called The Path of the Poles. And I'm sorry, I don't know the author's name off the top of my head, but it's The Path of the Poles.
Be careful Googling that, folks. You can also find gay pornography when you're looking for some of those things. Just want to let you know. Sorry. Go ahead.
And oh, my God.
And now a lot of people want to find out.
What about the Earth Kingdom or the gay pornography?
Oh, man, there'd be some definite rock-hard earth changes going on in people's bedrooms tonight.
Oh, yeah, and we are so arrogant that we think we know everything that's happened to this planet. We don't know crap about what's happened to this planet. Oh, well, we took some ice cores. Okay, well, good for you. You took some ice cores. Do you know all of the events that took place? Do you know the changes? Do you know the impacts, everything that's happened? Is the elliptic static? Or maybe we're revolving around the sun. Maybe we're revolving around in a 360-degree, aspect.
Yeah.
Where not only are we going around it, but we're going up and down and around it.
And Payday Monsanto just gave me a little inside track here. He says, Earth Under Fire, How Global Warming is Changing the World is a comprehensive look at the worldwide effects of climate change in dramatic photographs. Beware. So, you know, I mean, when it comes to climate change, it's not that I don't believe that there is climate change. I don't believe the Earth is static or our atmosphere is static and that, you know, certain things couldn't affect it. But what I don't believe is that your SUV is causing the Earth's magnetosphere to weaken or the amount of radiation from the sun that's now increasing. People do not have, people do not have that profound of an impact, at least not that we can prove. And, of course, the solution when it comes to global warming is more taxes, VAT taxes, gas taxes, and that money, regardless of how much money you give to Al Gore and all of his globalist friends there at GE and other stakeholders in this and BP, they're not going to make the Earth cleaner, better, or more friendly. And they're not going to stop the earthquakes, and that's not going to stop the volcanoes, and it's not going to stop the Earth from changing. So, you know, when you look at these pictures, yeah, the Earth is changing. And, you know, the problem is that you can use that to facilitate any of your, you know, wants when it comes to a lot of these agendas, and that's how they're using it. You know, look what's happening over here. There's a tsunami. I mean, it doesn't matter what event happens. As soon as there's any kind of earth event, tsunamis, earthquakes, drought, what's going on in Europe, I mean, they're quick to blame it on human beings and saying that, well, if we just tax the crap out of you, Mike Chambers, that we could fix all of this. And then, you know, that's...
Yes.
They're like old school virgin hungering gold manipulating scum that are trying to trick everybody so that they can steal what remains of their freedom and their resources.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what this is all about. It's all about grand theft.
Yeah,
I mean, that's all it's about. In the end, they walk away with everything, and we're here with nothing. I was talking about today. Thomas Jefferson said that if you give your credit and your money to bankers, that essentially what will end up happening is that you'll end up homeless on the planet, on the continent your forefathers conquered. And I guess you can extend that even further into the planet.
Yeah, you could. Exactly. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Jim in Austin. We got Paulie in New Jersey. So we'll talk with both of them and you, 1-866-841-1065, right here on Oracle Unleashed. Hour 3, straight ahead. We'll be right back.
Mary had a little lamb. What is it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. This is Oracle Unleashed. That is the name of the program. Pretty sure. Blacklistedradio.com is the interactive website dedicated to this show, my show, and other shows that we do from time to time. We have Mike Chambers, the host of Mike Chambers Live. We have Chris Geo here somewhere in the background hanging out. Truth Frequency. You can check that out tomorrow at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network. Actually, it's today since we're already into Saturday morning. We have Kevin in Minnesota on the line. Kevin, just hang there, man, because we got some other callers here, and I know that you usually have a lot of profound thoughts to put on the record. So let's go to Jim in Austin, who's patiently waiting. Jim, thanks so much.
What about
for
me?
And Vinny Eastwood and others. Myself.
from the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, please. Yes.
There you go. Jim, what's going on, man?
Oh, boy. You know, I'm listening to you guys talk, and it's just...
I'm sorry.
You know, it's uplifting in a certain sense, but in the sense that a condemned man can make fun of his, you know, executioners before the final moments of his life. You know, I mean, we are here creating the fourth column. You know, what's left of it, and you know, the joviality aside, you know, it's quite the undertaking that we've made, you know, to put ourselves out there, all of us, because Echelon is listening. And I've got a couple of words for Echelon. Do you have a second?
Sure, man. We got 2 minutes and 13 seconds.
All right. So here's a couple words for Echelon, just a little jumbled mess, for its decrepit brain. Nachos, Obama, pizza, mystery, hangman, deception, hamburger. Anyway, just wanted to say, you know, I've been around to different parts of the world, and the only constant that I really find is in the dichotomy of the mentalities of people. I've been to Europe, I've been to Asia. And in many places in Europe, what I find is this ridiculous strict nationalism, which, of course, has now been all hegemonized into the European Union, this complete acquiescence into, mediocrity. And where I visited in Japan, I found multinational neighborhoods filled with Jews, filled with Kiwis, filled with Aussies, filled with Americans, Brits, who all share the same precepts of humanity and freedom. And since I really don't have the economic means to continue to travel around the world, I sort of consider myself an expatriate in my own homeland, you know?
You feel like a sane person in the insane asylum?
Yeah,
well, we do too, man. I'm right there with you. Hold there, Jim. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back. Chris Geo, I think, he's awake. He's ready to go. We got Mike Tainers and Vinny Eastwood and myself, Doug Owen, here with you. Hour 3, now officially underway. This is Oracle Unleashed.
Hey Joe, where you going with that gun?
drug violence to domestic violence. We cover it all for you here on Oracle Unleashed. What a great song. But I always love this song. Yeah.
A little Stevie Ray Vaughan and then the inspiration for his music, Jimi Hendrix.
Little Jimi Hendrix, yeah.
Nice. Let's go back to the hometown of the legend, Austin, Texas. We have Jim here. He was talking about the, I don't know, the serenity that we're seeing as we go into, whatever the hell we're going into now. Please continue, Jim.
Yeah, sort of on the same lines. Not really, but, you know, they all interlace. You know, I mean,
sure.
We're facing the end. We see it in Greece, you know, and then we see the other side of it. What's happening in the crescent of the Middle East, you know, and for us here in what has become the privileged Western world or the Western influenced world, you know, it's really a matter of time. You know, we're going to see one end of the stick or the other.
Well, the death of one thing brings about the birth of another. Now, I'm not saying that it's necessarily going to be more positive or better, but it is change. And that's one of the things I think that most of us are very afraid of, and that is that the world is changing, and we don't want to change with it. You know, the times are changing, the consensus among people out there that are propagandized, and, all the things that we're heading towards. It's very scary. It's very scary. We're charting uncharted territories, or we're heading into waters we've never seen before. And so the world is definitely on fire, and it's changing dramatically. Mike, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the whole it's like for every day, it seems like everything is absolutely screwed up. And when I guess in some respects, we can look at it as an ending, or we can look at it maybe as a beginning. I mean, with every ending, something new begins. So maybe, you know, it, depending, I guess, on what influence we have on it, if we have any influence on it, this might be a different beginning to a pretty crappy ending. I don't know. Things are just crazy.
I think everybody doesn't exactly realize that there's no such thing as stability, really, in its entirety. Like, not in a sense of forever-like. You know, and people need to take things as they come and just, you know, be prepared for eventualities. And in the meantime, there's pretty little that you can do about world events in terms of influencing them, but you can certainly influence your local community and try and make sure that community is self-sufficient and out of the clutches of the New World Order. And then we can think about taking our nations back. But it starts with yourself, and then it continues on to your home life with your family, where a lot of people wind up getting a lot of persecution and, you know, stop getting invited to Christmas and such like that. I mean, it's like it's a Japanese poop sandwich all round, basically. And the only way that I can deal with it is to laugh about it. Because, man, some of the stuff's really freaking hilarious. You know, you can't make this Japanese poo burger up.
No. And the fact that they want to offer that as a legitimate food, you know, to people and say, hey, your excrement is not your nutrition. Well, yeah,
well,
we know that.
They're saying that radiation is nutritious. So what lengths will they stop at? Gosh dang it. It's absolutely incredibly insane. It's like 18,000% above the recommended radiation levels on the west coast of the United States. That is 35% spike in fetal deaths and whatnot, and the government's doing nothing. They're saying keep drinking that breast milk that comes from a cow and fucking...
Wait a minute, they are doing something. They had a picnic at the White House the other night. They're busy. Now, don't you say anything. Yeah. Rifle on my government, they had a picnic the other night. They fed some congressmen and some senators. Tomorrow, my president's going to go play golf with the Speaker of the House and the Vice President. They are busy, my friend. And don't ever think that they're not busy and they're not alert, because they're going to use every damn mulligan they got tomorrow. I guarantee you.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, you know, thanks for the phone call, man. We really do appreciate it. I've got to move here. But, you know, don't let the world get you down. It's not static. We are changing, and things are changing, and we kind of have to embrace it, regardless of whether we want to or not. And that's, you know, kind of my mentality looking at the world today. Yeah, it's pretty effed up. It's always been, though.
But, you know, that's a lot of what is sold, is that we live in a static environment, that nothing ever changes. But this is the way it's always been. Well, no, it's not the way it's always been. because there was a time when it wasn't that at all.
Well, you know, and this is something I was making a point about the other day, Mike, was that, you know, there's people here that really get upset when you cut down a tree. Now, if you're really a greeny weenie and you believe in terraforming the environment back to the days before man, you know, was here and restoring Texas to its original state, well, then maybe it should be underwater. Or maybe it should be just grass prairie lands, because before the cows came along pooping the acorns, there were no oak trees. 400, 500 years before the cattlemen crossed Texas, it was just flat. There was nothing here. So, you know, when I look at these people, I say, well, why don't we just, you know, terraform this and just rip everything down? And they're like, oh, well, no. What about the birds that live in the trees? Well, you know, those birds weren't here. You know?
Right. Tell them to get the hell out.
You know, that they don't belong here. They're not indigenous. You know, they're not part of the scheme. They're not part of God's plan. You know, all of this should be underwater right now. So let's just flood Texas. Let's put everything underwater, and it'll be much better then. And people are like, well, no, that's not what we should do. Go ahead, Vinny.
I've got two things to say here. Number one, there's a whole bunch of greeny, tree-hugging, loving people who have the worst, most weed-ridden front and back yards because they're lazy and they have cats that kill all the native bird life. and what was the second thing you were talking about? It's gone.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. All right, let's go to Polly, who's patiently waiting there in New Jersey. What's up, Polly?
Hey, how's it going, Night Shift crew?
Yeah, man, just hanging it out. All out.
This is amazing. Special greetings to Mikey Chambers, because he turned me on to this show. This is great. Mikey, this is awesome.
Well, thank you. Glad you like it. Glad you're here.
Oh, I love it. Listen, I want to ask you, how's the new barbecue doing?
My barbecue is wailing. As a matter of fact, my son used it tonight and made some really kick-ass chicken. And, I mean, it was every bit as good as mine. And so now I can sit around and drink beer and watch him barbecue the chicken. Wonders never cease. It's a miracle. Thank you, Lord. More to come. It's Oracle Unleashed on this Friday night. And it's Saturday morning. Everybody, stay with us. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you, Lord. Your barbecue and chicken.
Minutes to go. This is Oracle Unleashed. You can be part of it. 1-866-841-1065 is the toll-free number to join us. You can also join us online at blacklistedradio.com. Mike Chambers, Vinny Eastwood, and myself. I think Chris Geo stepped out, didn't he?
He's going to bed. He's a Rocky Mountain High. He gets him too quickly.
Was he? All right, we got Polly on the line here. That was I got up for a second. You guys were talking about your gas grill and how did Jonah do with it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, this, he's, you know, Jonah's always been a good cook. He's my 15-year-old son, and he decided tonight he was gonna cook the chicken on the grill, and he went out and he fired up the propane side and put that stuff on there and had it all nicely seasoned. The chicken was juicy, and it's hard to keep grilled chicken breast juicy, and it did it just perfect, and everything came out great. Made us some pasta, a little marinara sauce on it there, some Parmesan cheese. Boom, everything was great. Man, it was an awesome meal. And I didn't have to cook it. I could sit and observe.
Sounds great, Mikey. Sounds great. Yes. Listen, now you got to put the grill to a real test, and you got to put some wieners on it.
The thing is, it's the SOB wouldn't fit inside. We tried.
Oh, man.
Nice. Holy crap.
Holy crappers.
You had to get a full-on rotisserie spit for that massive wing.
I will tell you this. We probably have already done like 100
bratwursts.
We've already done 100 bratwursts on it, and using my special super-secret bratwurst recipe, which I will tell you tonight. Well, yeah, I got it from my wife. We got it from a television commercial. But
I hear her.
you know, still, all these years, and she's still jonesing to get her ass on the radio. Hates it, but wants on the radio. I still don't buy it. But what you do is you get your bratwurst, you turn your grill down low, and you let that stuff just let the bratwurst just kind of just simmer and do their thing inside that casing. And right about the time they're done, you take them and you put them into a big old vat or a pan of beer, butter,
yes,
onions.
Yes.
Oh, any roast.
Oh, my God. You let those bad boys soak in there for about 15, 20 minutes, and then pull it out and put it on your bun. And, oh, my God, you talk about heaven. Heaven.
And if you can get past the visual of the bratwurst, you know, this gray kind of veiny thing that you're eating, then you will be ready for the poop burgers they're making in China.
Yeah, but this is real sausage stuff made by real sausage makers using real sausage casing. In other words, intestine. And, I mean, it is, oh, God, you slip some of this through your mouth, and it's like heaven. I'm not talking about this store-bought crap. I'm talking fresh from the meat market, right there from the butcher, who knows a T-bone because he's had a good, you know, had a good look up the bull's ass. So he knows all these things.
There you go, Polly. More than you ever wanted to know.
And you know what? And you know what, guys? To just top it all off in the Polish way, just have a little shot of vodka with that breakfast. Oh, man, that sounds great.
Oh, man, I might have to do that tonight. I've been drinking coffee.
Oh,
I might have to start switching gears
here. You got to counterweight that coffee with some vodka. Yeah.
How about Kahlua? I think I got Kahlua or some kind of Irish cream. Yeah. That might work.
Yeah, I just want to tell Mikey something quick. I've been doing something on you know, we've been talking about being in you know, close friends community and trading stuff, and I've been doing something interesting. I told Mikey some time ago I've been doing some, you know, fly fishing, like trout chasing, and I've been doing this. Whenever I run low on cash, I would take whatever I catch, and I will trade it with people, and you'll be amazed what I get. I get beer for it. I get downtown in Brooklyn. I get breakfast made. I have these guys who have their own little deli, and I have no money, and I'll come in with the trout. They'll take it, and they'll make me a really good breakfast, and there is no money involved. And I think it's a beautiful thing.
Well, they're scared to death of you. Slap them with it. Come on, now, Paulie, tell the truth.
Oh, yeah. Well, I scare him with it, and yeah, exactly.
But that's what...
No, it works.
It works, and you start building relationships with people, and you make friends, and that's what this is all about, is about us communicating and talking to people, as opposed to sitting around in our bunker looking out through our gun port. Hey, is there a vehicle out there? I don't know. That might be the New World Order van going by. No, okay, that's just UPS, okay. No, damn, it's Ice Cream Man, but I think there's
I think you got a GPS locator on top of that damn old UPS thing right there.
I was that damn fudge sickle I bought the other day. There's a tracking device in it, but I'm not real sure, but I'm looking. I'm waiting. Oh, hey, who good? Good. One more of my storable food got here today. Damn, we got to get rid of the bed, honey. We're going to sleep on the e-foods. Come on now.
Oh, ham sack bag brought it. He said, I would be very suspicious of venison from Brooklyn. I've seen The Sopranos. So, Paulie, do you have a retort? A rebuttal?
No. No, you know what? I tell you, honestly, there was a time I got something in Brooklyn. Some I don't know, well, they called it goat, but I got so sick from it.
Goat? Little cabrito?
Yeah, from the Mexican place, yes. Boy, I got sick for 2 days from that.
Oh, well, but, you know, well, this is the thing. I mean, when you buy cabrito, things like that, there's a certain amount of bacteria that's absolutely okay for Hispanic people to eat, and when us gringos and Italians like try to eat that, you're just like, oh. But you know, the same thing happens to me. Yep. The same thing happens to me when I eat natural beef.
How's that go again, Doug?
It's because in Mexico they fertilize their crops with raw sewage in a lot of cases, and it contaminates a lot of their food, and all the people in Mexico wind up getting a resistance to it because they eat it all day every day.
Well, look at the French. I mean, they're nasty people. They don't, you know, it's only in the United States. I'm sorry, Frenchies. I didn't mean to bag on you. We're real quickly here, but you know, we're so. Overly anal about cleanliness. I mean, we have Clorox wipes for everything. I mean,
yeah,
you go to most other countries,
and you're like the sickest population in the world.
That
you're not used to any kind.
Dad, give me my counter's clean, but man, I suck from inhaling all the bleach. It's like, I can't breathe, but my counter really looks good and shiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the Japanese do to get the bacteria out of their food is they put wasabi on it. And the Pacific Islanders, they use lime. And here in New Zealand, we use lemon and put it in our water and on our fish, and it kills all the bacteria off.
Again,
and really Poland, we use vodka.
Pretty simple.
What is it? What's that the lemon mix that you use to cook fish? Is
well, that's if you consider poles. That's if you consider poles to be bacteria that need to be killed off. You'd use vodka, of course, but
yeah.
Oh, I'm just reading the chat room. I'm sorry, I was kind of dazing off here, looking at something Ham Sagbag was writing. Oh, my friends there at BlacklistedRadio.com are endless entertainment, and they deserve a show of their own, no doubt about it. Paul, any other thoughts?
Just one more, and I let another caller come on. Talking about something that the previous caller mentioned, and I just want to end it on a happy note. The ones who are going to survive the hard time, the hardship, are going to be people like us, open-minded people who are already trying, like, you know, me and other people already trading a few things here and there, and just being conscious about what's going on and being prepared for stuff. You know, don't want to be fear-mongering or anything like that. Just be, you know, prepared and stay together with people that you know that are like-minded. That's all.
Expect the worst. You know what?
You're exactly right, Paulie. I mean, that's what it's all about. And what you're doing there, creating ties and connections in the inner city, being able to get yourself food without money. That's what it's all about, folks. I mean, being creative and being very vigilant in preparing yourself. And if you're prepared, guess what? There's less to be scared of. If you stop, you know, that's something that does empower you. You're not worried about going to the grocery store. If the line's closed for a few days, you'll be okay. Pauly, thanks for the phone call. Patrick in North Dakota is up next, folks. Stick around. More to come. The Oracle Unleashed.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleeding uranium in the water? What you know about APAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on the native land. Project eugenics. Land on the common man expands the military industrial complex. Annex or restore you with chemical objects. Next, the psyop attacking your conscience. Next, your brain agrees with the offense. Political correctness. People are afraid to speak what they feel instead of what they made. I don't see black and white, I see a reason to debate. You fight about now a lot of land I betrayed. A slave to the system, we need to break free. We need to burn down the Fed facility. We need to stand.
It's the His Foe Shizzle, that's right, it's Orca Unleashed here on this Friday night to Saturday morning. Glad you're with us.
Goddamn Bilderberger.
I know, just
get on the poop burger.
That's right. All right, straight to the phones we go, to a basement somewhere in North Dakota. Here's Patrick. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Oh, don't do that. That's my boy. What's up, Pat?
That's kind of hurtful, Mike.
I know, man. That's uncharacteristic of you, Michael.
Well, I've been talking about poop all night long. What do you expect?
I mean, I expect that in the chat room, but geez, not on air, you know.
You're rough time. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I don't know why I called in, but I don't know. You guys are talking about food. So there's something that's been bothering me about food lately. I think that there is a vegetarian agenda being pushed on people at the moment.
You know, I hear a lot about it. I mean, Jeff Rentz is hardcore, like, don't eat meat. If you eat meat, it'll kill you. It's becoming really popular. I mean, have you heard about the Paleolithic diet that they have now? People that have gotten rid of almost anything that has to do with grain, pasta, any kind of processed foods. They're eating as if they lived in the 16th century, which might be healthy. I don't know, but
All I know is that a hell of a lot of vegetarians, of people that I know personally over my lifetime, are all really depressed and don't do much with themselves
and
because they don't have any
too,
iron.
Right?
Yeah, and they don't have any iron. That's because they don't have any iron in their blood. You know, they can't do anything. They can't even think of
it. It's been documented. We've been eating meat since the dawn of time. And our diets have been a diverse diet. We're not walking around going from tree to tree. Oh, that's a damn good looking berry. I think I'll have it. And staying away from meat. We've been eating meat since man has been around. And why do you think man created weapons and tools and things so he could hunt better? It wasn't so, hey, you know, this bone axe I got here, that's going to be great for chopping down cherry trees. Thank you very much. Jeez.
Good point, Mike. Well, you know, I've heard some people, like, in the alternative community, like, for one, I know Michael Tsarian has been saying that humans are natural vegetarians and that the only reason we started eating meat was because there was some catastrophe in the past that drove us insane.
Can we prove that? Do we know that? I mean, when we look at our teeth, it seems
that
we're...
That's the thing about this Michael Tsarian guy. He says a lot of crap that, you know, I mean, yeah, a lot of the stuff he says is really...
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of Michael Tsarian, but, you know, I, then again, when it comes to certain things, even though I'm Irish, I don't believe that the roots of humanity came from Ireland. I just don't think that we can quantify or prove some of those things. But, you know, I mean, I don't bag on the guy either. Maybe he's privy to some information that I'm not aware of. But, you know, I think that that's a, you know, it's a huge leap to say that this is proof positive, 100%, that we were absolutely vegetarians, that we did not eat meat. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, when you look at some of the things like eating brains, cannibalism, you know, it makes people go insane. Why is that? Why is it when you eat brains, you go insane? You know, is that something?
Well, maybe if you don't eat meat, you go insane, because it's a little-known fact that Hitler was vegetarian because he was upset by the cruel treatment of animals. And there was an animal cruelty action group up in Seattle, I think it was. They ordered these giant freezers, you know, massive. And people were like, what the heck are these animal rights activists buying these gargantuan freezers for? To stack thousands upon thousands of animal corpses. These are really freaky, sick people, man. Honestly.
Really? Yeah, I don't know. You know, and I don't know how nefarious.
A friend of mine's actually a member of an animal activist group here called Safe, and he says to me that you know, they've got all their policies and everything, but the one policy which is like their prime one, they never mention when they're out and about with the public. It's abolishment of having any type of pet or any type of animal that they can farm.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if there's anything nefarious about being a vegetarian as long as it's you're supplementing iron and you're getting a balanced diet. And that's the problem. People get so fanatical about these diets. I mean, you look at the Atkins diet. Oh, it's okay to eat bacon all day long because it's not a carb. I can eat vegetables and bacon and somehow lose weight. And then, you know, people are keeling over having heart attacks left and right. And they're like, I don't know why I'm having a heart attack. I'm like, it could be that you just ate 75 pounds of bacon this month. I don't know. Just, but I'm losing weight. Well, but go ahead.
Sarian has even pushed the idea that if, like, meat is what hinders your psychic abilities, and that if you don't eat meat and you eat vegetarian diet, you'll have more ability to have, like, telepathy or telekinesis or some crap like that. Mm. And I think it's very funny because if you read Agenda 21, it talks about how they want the future, you know, Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century, and they talk about how they want people to be vegetarians in the future because eating meat is it's not sustainable because you have to have so many acres for the cows, and
Well,
yeah, when you look at cattle, I mean, quite honestly, when you look at what it costs to breed a cow and how much water they use, I mean, if we lived in a society where there was true scarcity, you know, you would probably look at cows and say, you know, maybe it's not a good thing. I mean,
but
we don't have scarcity. That was my point. Go ahead, Mike.
But the thing is the cow puts everything back into the land. It puts its urine is water. It goes right back into the land, which goes right back into the water table. Its excrement goes right back into the land. It fertilizes the land. So it's a win-win deal. I mean, for the cow to exist, and the fact that we go and eat the cow, that's a win-win deal for us, because if you look at what man did with the cow, the man took the cow, he ate the cow, he loved it, and he ate it. He clothed himself with the cow. He made tools with the cow. It was a win-win deal. He used all of the cow. And what was left went right back to the earth and replenishes the earth. And guess what? There's more cows running around eating the grass that's been replenished by the dead cow.
Well, the problem really becomes when you consolidate and you have these massive feedlots, you know. They're not in a natural balance with the earth. You know, there's not a natural balance. You have, you know, a million cows that are, you know, their excrement is, you know, putting huge amounts of nitrates into the water table and polluting
the
water.
Right.
And you know, those are the problems. You don't have that natural, and it's just kind of agrarian society, and then you have the mass producers of the, you know, the Tyson, Cargill, you know, products. And, you know, I don't know about, you know, opening your third eye. I would say that the calcification of our pineal glands, as well as the chemical lobotomy that we go under each and every day, Pat, would be more of a hindrance to our third eye. You know, like Bill Hicks said, you know, watching TV is like spray painting your third eye. You know, so.
Oh, yeah. When they do the autopsy of the human, they find fluoride calcification in the pineal glands. So you wonder
You know, it's pretty funny. I saw this the other day. Well, it's probably a month or two now. They're saying that burning people is, you know, what do you do when you burn people when they die? It's incineration.
Cremation.
Yeah, the cremation. The cremation process is not green, because when you burn the human body, it excretes heavy metals, mercury, into the atmosphere. And, of course, the obvious question is, why are people filled with so many dirty chemicals? You know, it's not the incineration itself. It's the fact that we're filled with mercury and all sorts of nasty chemicals that, you know, it's not even the carbon.
It's a multifaceted toxin buff from the second you wake up. Honestly,
you know, that's the most impressive thing about humanity, I think, is that,
that
we can adapt to, you know, just insane types of environments. I mean, when you look at the Tibetans, the monks, they can actually live in a different type of atmosphere. Their blood is actually of a different thickness because they have acclimated to those climates. Yeah. You know, and it just goes to show you in a few hundred years how we can evolve. And I don't know what the hell we're evolving into right now, considering. But Patrick, man, thanks for the phone call. Always great to hear from you. And eat meat, folks. Eat meat. Eat meat.
If you don't, I will.
You don't. Mike will. More in a moment, folks. Final segment.
Eat meat. Eat meat, not each other.
To come from the near and far, when you throw a few ribeyes on the bar. Roberta Duran, 2x4x5, tells you to get some money, man, an awful lot of money, mine. Each state, need a big old steer. Each state, do we have one beer? Beep, it's a mighty good food. It's a great A meal when I'm in the mood.
Did you like that, Mike?
I like it. Eat some steak.
Yeah, that's for Pat out there. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. We got Kevin in Minnesota to help us wrap up the show. Final segment, Oracle Unleashed is the name of the broadcast. Kickstarting Saturday morning lineup. And let's see, we got Melody Hallett at, oh, yeah, Ticket Rev.
the illustrious, one and only Reverend Horton Heat, resident of the Dallas, Texas area. It's good stuff right there. Eclectic. Let's see, we got Melody Hallett with Truth Quest coming on at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. Nemo De Novo at 2 p.m. with Solution Revolution. Let's see, then at 4 p.m., then we have Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. 6 p.m., my man, Rob Chowder, Joel Bissett, my men, wrapping it up with Axiom Radio. Then, of course, Freeman, The Freeman, Free Zone. And then, of course, Truth Frequency. And then on into Alex Answery. And then we're into Sunday. So definitely check that out. Let's see, Kevin, we were talking about Earth Changes earlier. What were you talking about, dope?
Dope. You mean presidential?
Yes.
Candidate? Mm-hmm. Or that's the only
Michelle Bachman,
really...
thumbs up, thumbs down.
Michelle Bachman?
Yeah, Black Lace Teddy, thumbs up.
I cannot support ignorance to its finest.
But she's a Zionist. Come on. We can get behind Zio Judeo Christianism, right? No?
And since I have lost my sight, I can only hear from all the other guys.
You can appreciate the aesthetics of these bimbos. See, that's why you're not being fooled, Kevin, because you're actually listening to them, not looking at them. So you're like immune to half of the propaganda.
Well, absolutely. And my son is trying to find a Braille strip club that he'd like to take me to on my 44th birthday.
See, I look at their validity as a candidate in my mind. I picture them, and in my mind's eye, I hear their voice say, "Come on over here, you pot-bellied stallion." And if it rings true, I know they're for me.
You're just horny. That's all that is. Mike's just been out in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, for a little bit too long.
Yeah, thank God for the animals, huh?
Oh.
Well, wherever Mike is, he's been there too long as far as the residents are concerned.
Yes, indeed. It's time for a transfer. Yes.
Well, I wish.
Yeah, I mean, you need to be in the witness protection program, Mike.
Well, they had to drop the program because of me. I mean, my God, it was great. Everything was going along swimmingly. Then I outed everybody, and then I started doing a radio program, and then announced my name, and then they had to move me four times, and it's been crazy ever since. I'm on the run.
Well, I have to say,
whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen, do not tell Mike to get with the program.
To get with the
program. I was the program, pal.
I hacked the original program.
Oh, man.
I am absolutely envious of Mike's seclusion and out in the middle of nowhere, because if you think about it, if the proverbial fan does get hit at any point, he is going to have the best advantage compared to all of us.
What happened, Kevin, is I moved from there, and I'm still away from the main cities and stuff, and I'm thankful for that. I'm just a little closer to the madness now. I wish I was back out there in the seclusion, because I could see them coming from a quarter mile away.
Yeah, I mean, back then you had the seclusion to keep you company, and now all you've got left is the alcoholism.
Well, but the beauty of it is I had so many dogs out there, is by the time the dogs had gone out to the Viper team that was there to get me, my dogs would have licked them all to death, and that would give me time to run.
And you don't drink, really, so.
But the police probably would have used your famous bratwurst recipe and distracted your dogs, man.
Oh, man.
Could have, yes, indeed. Indeed.
Bobby's world. Never mind. Go ahead.
If I could digress back to when Jim called when I was on earlier, and kind of a little my story of why I left the phone. When Jim was talking about like just trying to be positive, and you guys were talking about trying to be positive, and no matter what kind of crazy shite storm it may look like, if we can keep positive and laugh about it. But while I was talking to you guys on my iPhone, I was traveling from my office to the kitchen, because my son bought me a cookie from the coffee shop earlier. I went to go get it, and I have a bandage on my leg that unwrapped and wrapped up in my wheelchair wheel. So I got halfway to the kitchen, and no matter which way I tried to turn, it just kept tightening the tourniquet around my leg. And so I sat there for about 15 minutes trying to untangle myself, and I had to give up and eventually call my son to come up and
prove it. I was thinking you were going to say the leg is now amputated, but my God, you got your cookie.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like a diabetes story.
Yeah, it sounds like a bad cookie story.
Yeah,
you can imagine how tight that tourniquet did get.
I can imagine, but
you know, that whole time that I was sitting
your
there,
son had designs on the cookie. Have you ever thought about that?
I think it was an inside job. Sounds like there's a cookie conspiracy going on.
Yeah. Chocolate chip was an inside job.
Yes. Oh, yes. What kind of cookie was it? Was it one of those Otis Spunkmeyer cookies from the Starbucks?
It's called I would not do Starbucks if you paid.
I'm just asking.
But
I don't know.
I have been there, though. I won't say I haven't been there. It's called a monster cookie, and it's about 6 inches in diameter, and it's like oatmeal and M&M and bits of this and bits of that, and it's delicious.
It does sound like you'd lose a leg from diabetes if you ate that cookie.
No, actually, I'm starting to wonder if he's not looking at an Anthony Weiner tweet.
I just want to know if there was thermite involved, okay? Microthermite, nanothermite.
Yeah, Kevin, you're right. You're right about being positive, and really all you can do is live your life. And one of the things that people get so caught up in, oh God, it's coming to an end. Hey, if you don't live your life and enjoy what your people around you and that kind of thing, then what the hell are you fighting for? What are you doing anything about? I mean, if you can't live your life and love your family and love people around you, then this is a waste of time. And I think that's one thing that people lose sight of is they just forget that, oh, I'm into this. If you're not into this with me, you can't be with me. Well, you better start finding some people that are either into it like you are, or you better get out of it somewhat and find some people.
You know, the one thing that I always look at is that we have it pretty damn good in the Western world. Now, I'm not saying that we're not debt-enslaved, New World Order, controlled, and we're not enslaved. But I think a lot of that also has to do with your state of mind. I don't feel enslaved. I know what's going on. I know about the police state. I'm not happy about it. But at the same time, I'm still living my life. And that's the problem, because people that are, wanting to have an effect and wanting to see something better end up, running away from all of it rather than trying to figure out how to adapt to it. And I hear these sad stories all the time of people that have just totally pulled themselves away from society, their family, the people that they love. They have ostracized the people because they won't get on board with 9/11 being an inside job, whatever it may be. And, at the end of the day, they're just unhappy, and they're waiting for, whether you call it Armageddon or the martial law, or waiting for this huge event to happen. And, you might be waiting a while. Ask those folks back in the 1980s that thought that Armageddon was coming. 30 years after the fact, you start questioning maybe I wasted my whole life waiting for some event that isn't meant to happen for, 200 years.
Well, I mean, there's probably some guy in his basement right now going through his stuff as he's listening to us, realizing he just found some storable food from Y2K.
Yummy stuff. Kevin, thanks for the phone call, guys. That is our time. That was Oracle Unleashed. Thank you so much for being part of it. Vinny, appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much. And check out my show 5 days a week, 5 till 7 Central on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The Vinny Eastwood Show. Thank you.
Shameless plug. Hey, I had a great time, Doug. Vinny. See you guys later.
All right. Till next time. Till next weekend. Everybody have a great morning and take care.